starting our Bibles tonight, and we're going over to Genesis chapter 9. And thanks be to God, we come to a beautiful testimony tonight of this purpose. And as we go on, continuing to remember this definition or this word purpose, as we saw over and over in the New Testament, it translates shewbread. It translates to set up in plain view. In the Old Testament, as we see this word purpose, it means to set up and to make known. And so we have this similarity, this parallel that goes forth, and we will always make note by God's grace. The only thing that will ever place us in that place to be set up and in that place for all to see, it must be the word of his grace. It must be the feasting upon Jesus Christ himself, the shewbread. And we thank God for what he's given us in this all truth, to come boldly to this throne of grace and truly allow the Holy Ghost to show all the things that are ours. Praise God. Now, we find, praise the Lord, in this passage, such a beautiful and true spiritual, it is a testimony. But just so thankful that we understand the testimony is the working of the Lord in our life. It's not me making a decision. It's yielding. It's believing God. It's allowing the love of Christ to work in us. It's not taking the time to wonder what Jesus would do. It's Christ in you, and he's doing it. And I thank the Lord that we're going to see the actions of the Spirit in two of these sons of Noah, Shem and Japheth. And as we get to this point where we're at here, the Lord so graced Noah. And just such a precious man. He graced his family many different ways, but we all think about Noah and the monumental deliverance in that ark. And it was monumental. And you think about the miracle upon miracle that God did for them in giving them the grace to believe God. And the miracle to believe God when it looks impossible. And if you really think about Noah and the things that God told him, I mean, that was impossible. I mean, you know, God says he's going to flood the earth. They've never even seen rain. So you have to think of that. They've never seen, they've seen the water come up, you know, and water the herbs and the plants and things. But they'd never seen rain at that time. So, but God's telling them, I'm going to flood the earth. And then God's telling him, okay, now because I'm going to do that, I want you to go build an ark, and I'm going to tell you how to build this. And you kind of think, we don't know exactly where he was, but probably around in Mesopotamia, and that's right there around Iran, Kuwait, and that area. I mean, we're talking a desert. So God's going to have him build a ship about the third of the size of the Titanic out in the middle of a desert, telling him, I'm going to flood this earth, but you never seen rain. Now, you really just have to put all these things together. And that's the grace, that's the miracle, that grace that caused Noah to still believe God. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. I'm confident that there was a lot of different things. But see, it said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So this wasn't something that was just sprung upon Noah. Noah walked with God. He was a man of God. Thank the Lord. And so I'm sure as a preacher of righteousness, he told his kids. So his kids, by the grace of God, would believe with not with their dad, not because of their dad, but with their dad that, you know, God's able. God is well able. And God help us not to forget at all, brothers and sisters. So let's read, though. After God delivered them out of the ark, God has graced them. They go forth. But here soon after, let's read what happens in chapter 9, verse 20. It says, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders. And there that word laid, that word is purpose. Yeah, purpose. And how that will speak to us tonight. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders. And went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward. and they saw not the father, their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, brothers and sisters, the beauty of the purpose of God and his grace. Noah allows his flesh to get the best of him. And that's the truth. And how wonderful and marvelous the word of God is. God often uses opportunity like that to bring the fullness, the glory of his purpose to a life. Now, Noah gets drunk. Noah gets so drunk, he's removed all of his clothes. It's completely embarrassing, but grace is going to be set in place. And that's always the purpose, grace. Grace is going to be established. Grace is going to be set up. Grace is going to be there for all to see. But let's notice here who was of the purpose and who wasn't. We have here all three of these sons. They experienced and they knew the same thing. Yes, they did. Yet how differently the purpose responds on the reigning ones as opposed to those that will be servants. And that's the truth. There is a trait of mercy and grace and restoration by the grace of God that follows and goes forth with those that will reign, those that will be of the purpose, those that will not take that, those that will shun away from it. There will be an attitude and there will be a label of a servant, as we will find out. Now, Ham, as it says here, he looked upon the nakedness, didn't he? And he reported it to his brethren. You think about the opportunity that Ham had. He had the opportunity to cover it, and no one would have ever known. That's right. No one would have ever known. Have you ever had that opportunity? Have you ever had that opportunity for a brother or sister in Christ? I pray you have. I pray that that opportunity was completely seized, praise the Lord, in such victory that it was just right there before you and your God and nowhere else. I would hope that more Christians would have that attitude. I mean, we read this. I mean, we haven't even got to the 10th chapter of Genesis. I think this is vitally important, isn't it? Mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Isn't that interesting? How critical and quick to judge and quick to condemn, quick to point out, quick to talk about what Christians can be. God help us, brothers and sisters. God help us. So, this is how this Ham responded. But notice the result. It didn't go unpunished. There's a curse always that legality and condemnation will always bring to a life. Even Ham's name, do you know his name means hot? Hot. Not fiery, but hot. I was thinking, I've met very legal Christians before. I know them. They're hot. They're angry. They're critical. It's almost like they just want to be contentious. The last thing I want to be, I just want to preach the grace of God. But that bothers them. I want to be joyful in the Lord and allow the Lord to have full praise and rejoicing in my life. It'll bother the legal, and it will. Causes bitterness, resentment. Sometimes I think it's jealousy too, but jealousy is crueler than the grave. So it gets awful hot too, and it can sure do a lot of evil things. But I think about this, and you had this hot guy, and boy, he was ready to condemn. But see, his purpose was not that of reigning. Matter of fact, he was not of the purpose of reigning. that was left for these two brethren. And I'll call them the cherubim brothers because their wings touched holding the mercy. Yes, they did. Their wings touched holding the mercy. It says that they brought in upon their shoulders that wonderful garment that would cover their father's indiscretion. That's what mercy is. That's what cherubim wings do. That's why the cherubim wings are covering, praise God, the faces, and all they look at is the mercy seat. That's all they're seeing. There may be things that we experience that we come into contact with, but by the grace of God, we're seeing mercy. We're just looking at the blood. And I know that all-powerful blood is there for us. Not just me and not just you, but for us in Christ. It's there and it's flowing and it will never stop. And just as we read and we're rejoicing, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I love that. I got mercy following me. Mercy's following me. Praise the Lord. Isn't that one of the sweetest encouragements in the Word of God to us is Psalm 23? And yet somehow we think that we're above mercy or we don't need mercy. And God says mercy's following you all the days of your life, whether you know it or not, because I'm so gracious. See, mercy wants to bestow the riches of his glory on us. Amen. Upon us who are the vessels of mercy. But that's this pursuit to stop us in our tracks to realize, but for God. And in this flesh is every single sin. It's capable of everything. Everything. God in his great grace and his mercy, he doesn't take me to a place where he's going to destroy me. He'll allow this thing to do what it's going to do to the extent that his grace is greater. Do you understand that? And I love the Lord as he said to them about, well, who's going to get the most in heaven? Well, you know what, smart guy? It's the one that's forgiven the most, I guess. Praise the Lord. I think we're in agreement with him. That's a good place to be. But see, these two brothers, their wings touched and they were holding mercy because that was the garment that covered their father's sin. And that is so beautiful. And see, the purpose, if you will, the purpose does not want to look on a brother's fault. The purpose, praise God, the plain view is not to expose the things which their brothers are not. You understand this? Those two did not want to spread a lie about their father. Noah was chosen of God. Noah was God's man. As I mentioned earlier, he was an heir of righteousness by faith. It says that in Hebrews. And in 2 Peter, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I'm going to tell you something. If you're a preacher of righteousness, that means you're preaching about the blood of the Lamb. Because there is no righteousness without the blood of the Lamb. So I'll tell you what, back then it was just the same as it is now. It's all because of the blood. And because of that blood, and because of the blood is what made Noah righteous. Noah stands in that same place that he cannot, neither could he commit sin. He was covered by the blood. So why would his sons come in there and promote something of a lie about their dad? Amen? Think about where we are as Christians for the most part. I'm talking about as a whole. Well, you need to get up there and apologize, and you need to get up there and tell everybody about everything. And then yet, here was David who came around, and I'll tell you what, that was some big indiscretions he had, didn't he? But isn't it beautiful as he said, before thee and thee only have I sinned. Why can't we, by God's grace, just thank the Lord and just rest in the mercy and thank the Lord? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And I'll tell you what, there's reward in that mercy, brothers and sisters, and we're going to hit it right now. See, those sweet two sons, the purpose ones, It says they laid. You saw that right there, right? Verse 23, laid. That's the same word purpose, when Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed. When Ruth went into the field of purpose. It's the same thing. It's to set up in place. Praise God. And this is what this is to set in place. This is what this is all about. This is what the shewbread does. This is what happens when we feast on the Word of God, when we are a preacher of righteousness, what God sets forth for all to see. And they carried the purpose, and they covered their father in it. It's exactly what they did. They carried that purpose in there. I love how the Word of God says grace for grace, right? Was that grace for grace? You bet it was. Thank you, Jesus. Was it mercy upon mercy? Amen. This is the testimony, brothers and sisters, of those, and I will say it this way, that are purposeful, that are full of it. And I thank God for it. And I thank the Lord for the testimony of His faithfulness. We've come a long way in this place. I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful that the word of His grace has always been here. But because of that, as the word of God says, we'll grow up. And we'll grow up into Him in all things. He that is full of grace and truth. Amen. And see what happens when we don't grow up. We're like children. And I was thinking about how we read about these things about bullies in school and all of that. I'll tell you what, kids can be more cruel than anybody. They really can. You guys know it. And I knew it. I told you I had some things about me that I wished I could change, but they weren't changing. And there were some really cruel kids, and they were mean as mean could be. Times I didn't want to be here, many times I didn't want to go to school, a lot of different things. But that's Christians a lot of times that don't grow up in the truth. But I thank God and I commend you, brethren, we're growing up. And when you grow up in the Lord, you'll be full of mercy and not selectively. It'll be to everybody. It'll be to everybody. You want everybody to win God's best. You want them to go on and win. And you actually get real excited and thankful when you see ones come in. Man, I didn't think it could come in that package. But then when you really know about yourself, see, I don't need to know about you. God showed me me. And I'll tell you what, I've seen enough. And I know there's enough for you too. You know what I'm saying? I'm just leaving it there. And you can let your mind run to whatever you want. Go on. That's good. So the purposeful ones are bastions of this grace and mercy. And they freely bestow this mercy and only mercy on the brethren. We want to see one another exceed. We really do. I don't like to see my brethren I'll just say it this way. I don't like to see in a funk. I don't. By the grace of God, we pray for one another. We want one another to be encouraged and enter in. And I know we go through things. And it's not to pretend that, you know, well, we're just going to be around and run around with a big old smile and all that. It's not to be fake. But there's a thankfulness that comes upon us always, I would hope. I mean, my goodness, we should be the most thankful people there could ever be. When we know the promises that are for us, when we know the backing of the Lord, thinking about how we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. I mean, here we are, and how manifold it is, and that God has given us and graced us with a desire to come tonight on a Wednesday night. On a Wednesday night, isn't that marvelous? And excitedly come on a Wednesday night. There's no obligation to be here. There's a desire to be here. We're thankful to hear about this. I have to tell you, I get excited as the Lord prepares the meal for us. I get a little precursor, but I really don't know what's going to happen until I get here with you too. But the things that the Holy Ghost, he sets us aside and he says, okay, now, honey, this is where we're going to go. This is what I'm going to show you. And tonight, here we have this wonderful testimony of the purpose in the lives of those that are fully purposed to win him. And isn't it ironic? The mercy, the covering, is laid upon their shoulders. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, what is the result of this? Ham, because of his heart, what did it say there in verse 25? Did you read that? Did you notice what Ham became? And he said, cursed be Canaan, Ham, a servant, or his line, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. All right? I could get into that. We could go to Leviticus. I could tell you that this is speaking of, matter of fact, Ham's son. Well, that's not this study tonight, because that gets us off on a whole different tangent. But this was the heart that was a defiant to God. See, when you want to lay down and reject the mercy and the grace and pick up the judgment and condemnation, God help you. God help you. And this is exactly what you'll be. You'll be a servant of a servant. My. That's what legality does. That's what would be in the heart of brethren that want to expose a brother's life. Think of this. The critical brethren are the brothers of Joseph. Huh? Right? The critical brothers of Joseph. What did they do? They bowed down to their brother. Oh, yes, they did. And God help us to be critical ones. Turn on over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And in verse 1. It says there, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, parade him around the church and make sure you make at least 8 phone calls to let everybody know. Man, I was on that phone. Man, I'm glad I can just do mass texting. You know, I got a list and I just shoot it right on out there. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In what? The spirit of meekness. Now we're talking a lowliness and a nothingness. Oh my. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And boy, that can go any different way you'd want it to be. But for the grace of God, there go I. But I'll tell you what, the temptation somehow to be puffed up. Consider yourself. You know, think of that. Keep reading here with me. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, there's a burden in that. There truly is. That speaks of what those brothers, they laid upon their shoulders. That's the burden. They took that burden with their daddy. It wasn't something that was pleasant. It wasn't. It hurt. And all they wanted to do was to cover. I don't want to see it. Want it to go away, just as if it never happened. Walked in there, praise God, I'm going to the one that's justified. Hallelujah. So bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ, and isn't that beautiful? Love. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself, and we're all nothing. So if we ever thought we were something, well, we would deceive ourselves, wouldn't we? But let every man prove his own work, and let him, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. So we thank God as he brings us through this. So if a brother be taken in a fault, and isn't that beautiful? I love that, in a fault. The word choices are just perfect, praise God. And it is, ye that are spiritual, restore him. Bear that burden. As if it were your own. And it is, because it's the same body. Yes, it is. The Word of God says, you'd be insane to destroy your own body. You wouldn't do that. You tend to it. I think about how many times Brother Hill would say, you know, you had hurt yourself, or you burned yourself. You don't get over there and say, oh, you stupid finger, what are you doing? Why didn't you pay attention? You don't do that. You grab it. Get ice. You do whatever you can to nurture it, to get that thing in. Most importantly, you're praying, Lord, come in for this finger. We all were not paying attention. This all a lot of me. And so in that, I thank God that we enter into these things together. And God has so graced us, especially in these last years, brothers and sisters. I believe that we are touched with the infirmities of one another in such a precious way because of Christ in us. See, we don't want to stand there and say, I'm glad I'm not like him. I don't want to stand there and say, well, I'm just glad I don't have that problem that brother so-and-so has or sister this and that. That's ugly. That's awful. How about we just look to the mercy of the Lord and go on to the victory that we thank God that his love covers a multitude of sin. And I'm so thankful that who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. And so what an encouragement to us here tonight to see this in such glory and so pronounced that if this is really truly your heart to win Christ as your bridegroom, this will be who you are in Christ. If this isn't you, this is something you need to really ask the Lord to deliver you. We get a critical spirit, a root of bitterness. Let me tell you something. It's an ugly, ugly thing. And I'll tell you, being critical, it'll do it every time. But those that are spiritual, it says, those that have allowed the purpose of truth and love to be laid over them. Let's see. They're not a servant of a servant, are they? Let's go on back to our text and let's read verses 26 and 27. Let's read what they are. In verses 26 and 27, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So we see a pattern of those that have the purpose laid upon them, don't we? And lay that same mercy on others, they reign. They're rulers. They reign. Praise God. It's evident. They are blessed with it. And it's wonderful. Shem, his name comes from the word that means fame and glory. Fame and glory. Isn't that marvelous? See, and not only is he given Canaan, but Canaan is his servant. So it's very sweet to see that it's not just that he's given something, they're going to serve you. Think of that. See, it's not just that. And we'll go there in just a minute where it speaks of the Philadelphia church. It isn't that I'm going to just make them know that I love thee. He says, oh, no. They're going to come and they're going to bow down and worship before thy feet. And I'm going to make them know that I love thee. Think about what the Lord's doing here. Praise be to God. Lord doesn't have you standing to the side watching those palm wavers. Lord has you right in the midst of the throne looking with him right out over it. You have been criticized by your brethren about what you believe? About that you believe in a bridal calling? That you believe that you'll really rule and reign with Jesus Christ? Ones that try to be polite say, oh, the Bible doesn't say that. Oh, yes, it does. You're just denying what it says. You're denying that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, even the Ephesians, which is that high watermark, I mean, if you look at it, it means fully purposed. And as it goes in through the seven churches, why would it so, it's just so obvious. There's the church of Ephesus, the first one just laid right out there. All of the wonderful things, but yet I have one thing against thee. You left your first love. So we see this. So if they have these one, they have this wonderful truth and they have these wonderful works and they have faith, but yet there was something that they missed. If everybody was getting the same thing, then why did they miss something? I mean, we could do that in how many places in the Word of God? Everybody's getting the same thing. That's not it. Why does he want you to grow up if it's just, everybody's just, I'm a child of the king, I'm a child. No, I'm not. Mm-mm. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And he wants me to grow up. He wants me to be a joint heir with his son. That's what he wants. So there's more. And there wouldn't be all of that chastening and chastisement from the Apostle Paul to those that knew that word about them returning to milk as opposed to going on with the strong meat. There wouldn't be the pointing out of ones that would go after the world, ones that would, like with Peter. Peter was turning to legality, going back to put bondage upon his brethren. Paul said, oh my, what are you doing? Scolded him. Barnabas coming up against him. And we can talk of a lot of different things. I'm just telling you, you don't want to come up against that gospel. And it wasn't Paul, but you were coming up against that gospel that was given to him. It was a chosen vessel unto God. God gave him that dispensation. God gave him that wonderful whole counsel where Paul could say, I have not withheld a thing from you. He gave me that message for the riches of his glory in Christ. You have to choose to deny it. You're denying the obvious as a Christian, not to take the word of God for what it is. But see, Shem, his name means fame and glory. And he reigns over it all. And then you go on to his brother, Japheth. His name means a spacious floodgate. Isn't that wonderful? But even though he was a spacious floodgate, what did it say here? I'm going to enlarge that. I'm even going to give him more. I'm going to give him more of a portion. Isn't that something? Well, why, if he's got so much, why does he get more? Isn't that way we're kind of programmed now in this life? Well, this is enough, and that's too much, and this is that. Bible didn't even ever worry about that. Matter of fact, with this wondrous word of God, all he wanted to do is, how much do you want? I'll lay it on 100-fold. Who was the one that was commended? It was the one that brought back the 5 talents. Think of it. Let the Lord increase. Let him increase. Let him keep pouring it on you. Praise be to God. But see, this is what we have. We have the exceeding riches of Christ. And we have this wonderful purpose and grace. But notice as we close this up tonight. It says there in verse 27, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Those two dwell together. And it's sweet because that word dwell, it means to set fixed in place. So again, it's like a double portion of the purpose, to set in place. And it's beautiful. It has a similar meaning to it. And they're together. They reign together. And that dwell means to set permanently. And that's where I want to go, is back over to Revelation 3. And let's read about that Philadelphia church as we close it up tonight. And it says there, so think about this. So we just read that they're going to dwell together in the tents of Shem, right? That's where they're going to dwell together. They're going to rule over Canaan. And Canaan is going to be he's going to be their servant, all right? And so there's this ruling and reigning company set in place. Forever, permanently is what that means. So let's read about the Philadelphia church, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So right there, you know you ain't no servant. Servants don't have crowns. This is a ruling company, amen? And they've got the crown. They're not trying to get it, they have it. And all the word of God is to encourage them, hold it what you have. Just cherish it, honeys. You've got it. Him that overcometh, what's going to happen? I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Well, let me tell you something. That sounds something that's really set and fixed in place. A pillar better be set and fixed in place, don't you think? That pillar better not be moving around, or we got trouble with the structure. See, a pillar is set and fixed in place. Oh, yes, they are. They're right there. But notice about these pillars. And he shall go no more out. I believe that's permanently, wouldn't you say? You see how beautiful? It's just sweet. It's subtle little things, but it's the same difference of what's being said about these two, praise God, that love the mercy, that laid that purpose upon their shoulders, that went in there, praise the Lord, to cover the indiscretion of their daddy and not looking on it at all. That's this mercy and that's this grace, praise be to God. And this is what it says about this wonderful church of Philadelphia. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And notice it says, dwell in the tents, right? In the tent of Shem. Now, the tent speaks of nomads. Tent speaks of a badger skin. I believe we're aliens here, aren't we? Isn't that what the Word of God says? And we're just dwelling. You know what I'm saying. And it doesn't look right. It does not yet appear what it shall be. But we know the glory is about ready to be revealed. And you think about that. It said the tent of Shem, right? Shem's name? What did it mean? Fame and glory, right? So they're dwelling in that tent of fame and glory right now, right now, right now. And they truly are the cherubim brothers because they saw nothing but mercy. They saw the exact extreme opposite of what they deserved, what their daddy deserved, what their brethren deserved, and that's why they're clothed with the riches of his glory. Praise the Lord. That's why by his grace, the Lord, by his Spirit, preaches nothing but his mercy and grace in this place. He wills and does of his good pleasure in us, doesn't he? And I thank God, I pray we never lose sight of these things. It's always that precious blood. Cain was rejected because he didn't bring it right off the bat. You know that. Abel was received because he brought the lamb. And here you have these two sweethearts. Praise God, just like little cherubim friends, wings touching, bringing in the mercy. God help us to always be like that. May we love one another, amen. Sometimes there's indiscretions that happen. Sometimes there's things we go through. Sometimes one or two of us might even get in a little bit of a funk. We need to pray. Pray for one another. And don't let the funk, don't let the indiscretion be your idol, though. Amen. Don't let it be. You understand? You're glorying in infirmity, but you're glorying in the Lord. You have a trial that comes, it's more precious than gold tried in the fire. I understand all of that. But if you let that trial be your idol, you'll miss his coming. That's why we need love in here, and more for one another. Praise his name. Let's stand, be dismissed.